I'm Mohammed Yunus, and this is the Gallup Podcast. In this episode, we take a closer look at how K-12 education is preparing, or in too many cases, falling short on preparing young Americans for thriving careers. Laverne Srinivasan is Vice President and Program Director for Education at the Carnegie Corporation of New York. She oversees grant making and many other activities aimed at engaging parents, communities, and improving teaching and leadership for learning, advancing innovative learning environments, and just about everything when it comes to K-12 pathways to college and career, whether it includes college or not. Laverne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mohammed. Glad to be here.
It's great to talk to you again. We're in sort of back to school season. So let's start off by gearing up back to school. As students return to the classroom this year, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges they face? And what should schools and districts really be focused on in preparing to support students and teachers as we head back to this unprecedented back to school?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, Mohammed. This is a really troubling time. As most Americans know, there's been such catastrophic disruption to schools, for families, for teachers, for everyone, and for students. And so what we're concerned about is the natural inclination to sort of want things to go back to normal. You know, just please, can we get past this time where everything seemed sort of up in the air and difficult to navigate? And so I think the challenges that we all have, that students will have, families and schools, is adjusting to the fact that students may have experienced trauma at home, challenges associated with how the pandemic affected their families, in addition to the disruptions to their own education. They may have been out of touch with teachers, not engaged at all, engaged in ways that weren't as seamless as they had been when they were in school in person. So I think the social-emotional challenges, along with the fact that there has been lost learning time that needs to be made up for, are things that all of us adults are going to have to adjust for.
It's amazing that, at least here in the U.S., the education system is so diverse. I mean, experiences, private to public, and where you live, and the quality of education you're able to access as a student, as a parent, it really varies so dramatically. But this is a unique moment where no matter how well, relatively speaking, or tough of a time you had through the crisis that first year, this disruption really hit everybody. You know, if you are a student in some kind of educational program, that program was disrupted, whether you're in one of the country's best schools or in some of the many that, you know, are struggling to provide the best education they can for their students. In particular, of course, those realities are true for every grade, but juniors and seniors right now have a lot of important decisions to make as they look ahead to life after high school. What kind of support do they need in making these decisions, which are really critical in that junior and senior year?
Yeah, that's been something that's been a real concern from us. From the time that the pandemic hit, young people graduating from high school and from college are so incredibly vulnerable to, they were already, especially kids who are from low-income backgrounds, first-generation college students, if we're talking about college grads, all of those folks from underserved communities were already at terrific risk for being able to make smooth transitions to either higher education or to career or to some sort of, you know, first paying job. And the pandemic just exacerbated that. And as many folks know, the school system at the K-12 level has a real challenge in terms of guidance counselors and the amount of information and how information reaches kids and families. We have a 482-to-1 ratio, which is double what is recommended for college, you know, and career guidance counselors for young people. And so the support that young people need to understand all the implications of what kinds of choices and pathways are available to them is already difficult. And during the pandemic, it obviously became more difficult because kids, you know, were out of touch with guidance counselors, for example. Families, we didn't have good mechanisms for giving families access to that information in the first place. In fact, our Gallup survey indicated that if parents were able to navigate the financial barriers, the more significant non-financial barrier was really around access to information about options for alternative pathways, and also information about, you know, or availability, I guess I should say, of those options, or knowing whether they were available. So I would say that population of students is at great risk because the job market is disrupted, applying for financial aid is way down, applications to minority serving institutions, community colleges, enrollment plummeted. So it's a very precarious time for our juniors and seniors and those graduating from college.
I want to really dig in on those barriers that the research uncovered, and make sure I really understand what they are. So from what I remember, the last time we had this conversation, a lot of the barriers were sort of informational. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's families trying to figure out a career, a variety of career path choices for their kids, and they don't really know where to go to get guidance, get help in making those decisions. What's the best advice, Laverne, that you'd have for families who are listening right now that are experiencing that? Where can they go to get that kind of helpful support?
Well, there are a number of nonprofit organizations, first of all, that provide services, National College Attainment Network, for example. And then there are nonprofits such as One Goal and iMentor and others that supplement and can supplement those guidance services. Ideally, what parents should be able to do is also seek out in various community-based organizations those who have access to that information. For example, in New York, there are a lot of community-based organizations that we are trying to connect with colleges and K-12 schools and build a sort of more seamless, we call it like braided approach to providing that seamless set of transitions for young people, both in terms of actual pathways, but also in terms of access to information. We don't do a good job of that in our system. And the inequities that we all know have been laid bare during the pandemic make it so clear that the lack of trust and the lack of communication between home, school, college, and workplace is so fragmented that it just makes it really challenging for folks trying to find their way.
You mentioned the role of families. Obviously, we talk a lot about students, but so much of the decisions that students make in this period of their educational path are made in cooperation with their families, especially when it comes to what do I want to be when I grow up. How do you describe the role of families when it comes to helping their children really progress to their aspirational career? If I'm a parent, I'm an immigrant. So my parents' viewpoint was become a doctor or a lawyer, or at least their generation. You know, there were these professions that you pressured your kids to get into, and it meant you had some kind of a secure career moving forward.
Right.
The economy has changed so much. The idea of staying in the same job for 30 years actually is really unlikely for a lot of the younger people now coming of age and finishing high school, just because of the nature of how everything has changed. What is the best advice that you have for parents in helping their students and helping their kids really find their aspiration and a career path that will make them feel fulfilled, but also can really keep them, you know, well-fed and making the kind of social progress, I'll put it generally, that, you know, all Americans really aspire to when they go into a school or an educational program.
And Mohammed, what you're really talking about is what we often refer to as family and community engagement. And our survey found that 54% of parents wanted that for their kids. But yet they also want to know that, you know, to the point of doctors and lawyers as a potential career path, they want to know their kids are going to have an opportunity to have a pathway to the middle class, to have a good paying job, to fulfill their aspirations for both being educated and have access to learning, but also have access to being able to earn that living wage as well. And that's what we've done a very poor job of so far in terms of connecting the dots and helping parents navigate those pathways. What I would say is that, you know, when you think about, you know, the discipline of human-centered design, if we really designed our systems in this country aligned to the needs of the constituents served by them, parents and kids, we would do things a whole lot differently than we do right now. You would start in middle school saying, okay, we need to understand, or even elementary school, obviously, what is it that we want our kids to be on a pathway to? And how do I support my child to get there? I need information from the school about what experiences my kids should have access to. I'd like them to have exposure to careers in middle school and in high school before they ever get to the choice about college. And I want those options in college as well if I'm a parent, right? And we're not listening well to parents. And parents have to reach out and demand what they want. We know now from the data that they think about these things. Now, our policymakers and institutional leaders need to listen and design for what parents want and need for their kids and what students want for themselves.
It's so hard to have a general conversation about education and priorities because so much of it is locally organized in our awesome United States of America here.
Okay.
But we're in a unique moment right now with the federal recovery funding that is swirling out there. Everybody's talking about how to maximize really the federal recovery funding for fill in the dots, fill in the blank on your topic of focus. You've talked a bit about the federal recovery funds and how they might be used to support post-secondary success in education. When it comes to that funding, what advice do you offer to schools and districts in really making the most of it?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things is it is $190 billion, but it's also being spent over a 3-year period of time. So I think the challenge for school districts and school leaders is to figure out how to use the money strategically on things that can also be sustainable. So we've already talked about, you know, college guidance, for example, and counseling. There are some short-term ways to invest in supporting and accelerating the support available to students now that still will bear fruit down the road. For example, I mentioned earlier One Goal. One Goal basically builds the expertise of teachers to provide guidance to students and then extends the connection that those teachers make with students into their first year of college, helping to build a more seamless pathway for young people and a more supported pathway. We know from so much of the data that many young people who are accepted to colleges and even enroll, they don't always show up on day one, right? Because that chasm between high school and college is a big one. You know, we have to help students stay connected and engage to show up on that first day and to feel like they belong. So you asked me earlier on about the impact of the pandemic. The social emotional impact is tremendous. And so that need that we had to make this a more seamless and connected transition previously is even greater now than it was previously because students' lives have been so disrupted and families' lives that really understanding what's the value proposition of me leaving my family and going to pursue this educational opportunity, incur debt, right? FAFSA applications are down. We're very concerned about young people applying for that federal support, and those applications are down. So we can see the trend. I think investing right now in additional guidance, making sure that communication is made about options with families and students, those are some of the key things, and understanding where are the gaps academically that will have students start off on those pathways behind where they need to be. How do we help navigate for those kids who are further along in their K-12 education support to make those transitions? Those are all things that both colleges have to be thinking about and K-12 has to be thinking about.
That's Laverne Srinivasan, Vice President and Program Director for Education at the Carnegie Corporation of New York. Thanks for joining the show, Laverne.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's our show. Thank you for tuning in. To subscribe and stay up to date with our latest conversations, just search for the Gallup Podcast wherever you podcast. And for more key findings from Gallup News, go to news.gallup.com or follow us on Twitter at Gallup News. If you have suggestions for the show, email podcast@gallup.com. The Gallup Podcast is directed by Curtis Grubb and produced by Justin McCarthy. I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is Gallup, reporting on the will of the people since the 1930s.